Okay, I'm gonna try to finish out this little excursion I've taken, as we've been studying through Galatians. And we started looking, see, this is continued three, so one, two, three. So this is probably the fourth week I've been talking about this. And in the context of what Paul was talking about, Christians and the relations between man and woman, God ordained that. God ordained the relationship between a man and a woman. God ordained marriage. And we've been looking at these things and the perversions of them in our society. And then I took this little excursion about the role of the state in marriage. What is the role of the state in marriage? Well, the first marriage took place in the Garden of Eden. There was no state. God ordained marriage, and God brought together a man and a woman, made them husband and wife. There was no state. There wasn't even another family at that time. It was between God and a man and a woman. And brother, that's all it still is. The state's tried to interpose itself and to take the place of God and say, well, you got to have our permission. No. God brings a man and a woman together, and they have the permission and consent of the Father. And we saw that in Scripture as well. There's no role for the state. Really, there's no reason for the state to be involved. And we've perverted this like so many other things. And we've got this wicked, this evil state that wants to tell folks, you got to have our permission. Of course, that same state will give permission for two sodomites to get married. So how valid is their opinion? How valid is their permission? Okay, as we'd looked at those things and traced it back, and biblically and historically as well, George Washington didn't have a marriage license, but he was married to Martha. You see, God ordains these things. That's a covenant between a man and a woman and God. Some folks still argue, well, the state should have a role, maybe when it comes to a divorce, or when it comes to adultery, or when it comes to bigamy, polygamy, these sort of things. Well, let me ask you that, folks who would hold that position. Okay, so the state should have a part when it comes to adultery. Does the state prosecute adultery anymore? No. Or bigamy? Or polygamy? Does the state recognize sodomite marriages? So how can we argue that the state has a legitimate role when it comes to adultery or bigamy? A state that allows for divorce in every cause. A state that promotes abortion and the murder of the offspring of a marriage. The state's legitimacy is non-existent. The state, when it comes particularly to the marital relationship, is illegitimate. It has no proper function. Now, the only proper role of the state that you can glean from Scripture and glean even from our founding documents, the state has a role to protect people, protect lives, and to protect property. It doesn't do that. It does everything else. The state's watching folks tear down, you know, private property and doing nothing about it, take possession of private and public property and doing nothing about it, and yet prosecuting Christians for singing in church, charging people $500 for not wearing a mask in Michigan. That's not a proper role of the state. That's not a proper function of the state. And certainly the state has no proper function when it comes to a covenant that's between a man and a woman and God. Now, there may be circumstances where the extreme circumstances that involve sinful creatures to where as a result or impacting or as related to a marital relationship, there's needs to be protection for persons or property. You know, there could be, you could argue a role there, but beyond that, the state doesn't have a role. Now, because of that, I'm going to talk about some practical things and some folks who have actually followed through on things. I'm going to try to finish this up today. A wedding is between a man and a woman and God. The first wedding took place in the garden. The Lord's church wasn't even in existence yet. You know? It doesn't necessarily have to be before a church, but it should be before witnesses. And it's good to have it in a church, in your place of worship, and with your brothers and sisters. And to acknowledge that before man, your covenant that you've made with God to seek His blessings and to seek the prayers of God's people, there ought to be a signed certificate or agreement. In the past, it was fine just to, in the family Bible. You just sign an agreement, fill out the family Bible between a man and a woman before witnesses, have perhaps what we've come to call a best man or maid of honors, guests, whatever you want to call them. Have those folks attest to it. Establish it. The community, whether it be your church family or some other community or family, is much more capable of handling this these things than the state. Again, the state government has no real function there. And it does a terrible job doing things that it's not been ordained to do. Man's sinful. And we acknowledge things concerning God's perfect will and the relationship between a man and a woman. But the world's composed of fallen men. And yes, things happen. The Lord talked about how Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, you know, allowed them to put away their wives. But Christ said it wasn't so from the beginning. That was not God's intent. Really, for a Christian, it's not a viable option. And we went into more detail in that. I'm not going to go into all the details in that. And yeah, I understand people do things that are contrary to God's will. It doesn't make them right. And they happen contrary to God's will, but they happen. Christians do things they ought not to do. And that's why Paul's, you know, addressing these sort of things. In any case, between our interpersonal relationships and our conflicts, listen to this. I know what we're used to. We're used to calling the cops, right? But that isn't the way it used to be. It was handled at the local level. It was handled by family. It was handled by the church. It was handled by community. And that's what we ought to desire and seek to go back to. Any number of things that we look to the state for or want to call the cops about are better handled within the community. And again, that may be community of church or your family or a local fellowship and community. And that's the way things generally were handled in the past. Now, sometimes they were handled in the dark of night. Sometimes folks had to be dealt with, and the pillars of the community did that. Now, I'm not going to get into all the details here. I'm not saying we all ought to be going night riding tonight. Maybe next week, but not, no. So, in the light of this and what we've talked about, the state's role, you know, how would a couple proceed? And I'm just going to look at this cursory glance at this. I'm not going to go into detail. I'm not going to provide all the the information. There's a wealth of information out there that you can find, that folks that have went through this and thought this through. And we've got friends, you know, Donnie and Hannah. You know, they didn't never get a state license. They got married out in Texas, and their licenses was recognized in Texas. And I know it's recognized by Florida too. Now, I don't know if you just did it right in Florida, but I know I've seen marriages performed in Florida without a state license. Here's the problem. We're still dealing with fallen creatures. You know, we attended a wedding that was done, I think, the way it ought to be. What didn't have a state license, and it was a covenant signed and witnessed, and that marriage didn't last. Man is a fallen creature, you know. But that doesn't mean that doing things the right way is wrong. And that's the way to proceed. Now, when you come to these things, again, there ought to be a signed document. There ought to be witnesses. There doesn't have to be even that. But that's a smart thing. And when it comes to these sort of things, obviously the husband and the wife have to be on the same page. You know, they both have to be committed to this. They have to be knowledgeable about this. You know, you can't, husband can't just decide that that's going to be the way to do it, and the wife doesn't go along with it, or the prospective wife. And various details come up that can be dealt with. The matters of name changes and filing taxes and bank accounts. But those things can and have been dealt with. And I think to do it all over again, it would be worth it. No, I was young and dumb and stupid and, you know, and in college in the 70s, and just didn't want to be anything but a Marine Corps officer and serve the evil empire. Well, the Lord opened my eyes about some of that stuff. I would do a whole lot of things different. But in His providence, it didn't happen that way. For some reason, God intended that. And that's the way it was. But these things can be dealt with, and I greatly respect young folks that understand these things and want to proceed that way. And yeah, depending on what state you're in, not receiving the state license can perhaps impact some of your relationships with the current system. But how much do you want to relate with the current system, really? Yeah, how much do you want to participate with the current system? Again, our friend the barbers, I'm sure, if the topic ever came up, we don't have any young folks here, so but if the topic ever came up, there's folks that have some experience. There's a lot of folks that share that experience as I studied this and researched this on the internet and elsewhere. Generally, folks, we have God-given rights, and we're better off asserting those rights than we are seeking the state's permission for those. If God gave you a right, you don't have to go to the state to get your permission for that. Now, sometimes, again, it might be expedient to keep yourself out of the state's prisons, but still have it right in your mind. Like I said, some young folks may still want to get a license. That's up to them. I'm not going to have any part of that. I'm not going to sign a state license. I'm not going to be an agent of the state. But you know, that's up. But they still need to ought to be right in their mind. And if they understand these things, and they still decide it's expediency to do those things, like I said, I would recommend that they go ahead, that they make their covenant before God, and that they consummate their marriage before they seek, you know, a license, because they realize that license means nothing, not before God, and not in their covenant marriage. Matthew 19:6. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God had done together. Not the state. Not the preacher. What therefore God had joined together. Not the priest. And we talked about this when we first started out. You know, in the Catholic religion, marriage is considered a, quote, sacrament. It's not a sacrament. It's a covenant before God. It was ordained of God. A sacrament is something that confers grace. And only Christ can, as the Holy Spirit. You know, we don't have sacraments. God joined together, not a priest. And yet our Baptist forefathers were accused of rejecting marriage because they wouldn't come before the state church and have a marriage performed by the state church's priest. And they said, well, Baptists, they don't believe in marriage. No, they believed in marriage according to the Bible. And if folks say bad things about us because we believe the Bible, well, that sounds like a good thing. Wherefore, there are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Proverbs 18:22 tells us, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The Lord's favor. The Lord's favor to me, sitting back there on that pew. You know, the Lord gave her to me. I'm thankful He did. And I can't imagine anybody else could have put up with me all these years. She's agreeing. And she's right. She knows as well as I do. But the Lord prepared her for that. We live in a statist culture. And eventually, when we get back to Galatians, one of the first things that Paul starts talking about there is idolatry. And folks, it's not just some carved idol to Dagon. Now, in our society, the problem is the worship of the state. And the state that wants to put itself in the place of God and set itself up as God. We live in statist culture, and we need to be careful not to worship the state or to serve the state, and particularly in our own personal relationships and in our own marriages. 1 Kings 18:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? I mean, what you going to do? He says, you can't serve two masters. You're going to have a marriage that has God as the head and the state as the head. Of course, you can't serve two masters. Elijah said, came unto the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He shut them up. They didn't know how to respond to that. Well, it tells you how long ago I was jotting down these notes right here in this, my next note. I say, I'm almost 70. Well, that passed. I'm 70 years old and a little bit more. I'm the oldest person here. I'm going to tell you that I've never lived in anything but a status culture. Never. And it's only gotten progressively and more rapidly worse over the years. And it seems like it's proper and natural to us because that's, but it's not. It's related to what we call normalcy bias, though normalcy bias often applies to what's happening in the future. You know, we have that today. You say, well, that could never happen here. Yeah, it can. Well, it's never happened here before, so it won't happen here. Yeah, it may. Or the normalcy bias is, well, that's the way it's always been, right? It just seems natural and proper to us. It seems that that's the way it's supposed to be. But it's not. But we like what the state gives us sometimes, you know. People get on the state dole and they like what they get from the state. That's what's the problem with a lot of our society. And that's what, by and large, has destroyed the black community. Mm-hmm. And it's creeping into the white community.
Right.
You know, folks are just looking to the state as daddy and papa. And they like the leeks and the melons of Egypt. They like what the state offers us. But you know what comes with that? Slavery. That's real slavery. Not something that happened 200 years ago that folks want me to pay them for. I never owned a slave. And those folks never were slaves. Some of my people owned a few, but I'm sure they were good masters, and they sought to teach them aright, just like Jefferson Davis and a lot of those other folks did. We're trying to help those people. But, you know, we like what the state offers. There's always a chain that comes with it. The children of Israel, you know, the Lord sets them free, takes them out of Egyptian bondage. They say, woohoo, we're free. Numbers 11, verse 5, they say, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Now, you know, you had chains on, and you were out there in the pits making... we remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. You know, food from heaven. That's human nature. That's fallen human nature. And so we view our relationship with the state kind of like that. You know, we think it's natural. It's normal. That it's even Christian. But it's not. And I'm increasingly disturbed. And if you read my blog, some folks stop reading it because it upsets them. But I'm sick of the devotion of Southerners and Christians to the American empire and to the American state and to Donald J. Trump and to his personage, that big orange Obama. I didn't mean to go into all this, but y'all got me wound up. That liberal New York Yankee. That's all he ever was. That's all he ever will be. Don't fool yourselves. And yet, folks look to the state. You know, I'm going to get state's permission for my marriage. And, the state will give me some bennies. You know, maybe I'll get some kind of tax breaks, or I'll get some kind of benefit from the state. We look to the state for protection, for validation, for permission. Brother, we should look to our God. We should look to ourselves. We should look to our families. We should look to our church, to our culture, to our community. Not to the state. As much as we can, and I think it touches on this marriage thing. And again, every man, every woman, couple has to decide in their own mind. But we have to begin by seceding in our own minds and our own hearts. We don't fly the empire's flags. We don't say that socialist pledge. You know, even folks who claim to be good old conservative, you know, good old boy American love, if they knew the history of that pledge, they wouldn't be saying that. It was written by socialists. And it was meant to disparage our Confederate ancestors and to poke a stick in their eye. One nation, indivisible. That isn't what the founders believed. That's what Abe Lincoln believed. Enforced upon us. And it all impacts. You say, well, where are you going? You're talking about marriage. Yes, it all impacts here. Because the state wants control of everything. The state wants to be God. Resist, secede, abjure the realm. I can't control what those idiots are doing and tearing down statues and what they're probably going to do to Stone Mountain and all. I can't control that. I can control here. I can control me. Until they come in here and kill me, this is the way this place is going to look, and this is what I'm going to be able to say to my kids. You know, this is what God used before us. These are the men he blessed. These stones speak to what God has done. Okay, well, it used to be, and I think it's generally true, though, you're dealing with the state and with law. And it doesn't mean anything anymore. We're not a nation of laws anymore. Those folks in power will just do whatever they want to. They'll just make up things. Like little Benito DeSantis that made up all these rules about the COVID thing and about the things you can do and what you and I'll shut this down and I'll. He has no authority to do that, not even by man's laws. But they don't care about that. And so we need to realize that. But by the law, the common law of the 50 states recognizes a lawful marriage, or used to at least, that was witnessed by two witnesses. But that isn't the most important things to us. There's a lot of copies of marriage covenants you can find on the internet that some folks use. Some of them I don't like, and I would have to modify. So I'll talk about the sacrament of marriage. It's not a sacrament, it's a covenant between God and a man and a woman. Well, I could continue on for a long time on this, but I'm going to wrap this up. And I've thought about this, and I've studied this, and I don't understand everything. I don't know everything. But I know what I think the Lord's taught me, and as a basis of that, how I plan to proceed. And I just want to share that with you all. I don't think anybody here is planning on getting married anytime soon. But here's some conclusions I've come to, and just some bullet points. We'll wrap this up. First of all, and I've came to this conclusion a long time ago. This isn't a marriage chapel. This is the Lord's church. See, we don't have a hang up a shingle, and I don't make money on the side by performing weddings. I could. I have people call me all the time. I have a lot of people call me because they know of my relationships with some organizations and my views. They know that I would perform a wedding without a state license. They seek me out. But I will only perform a wedding for folks who are members of this church. You don't need a preacher to do that. Why do you want to come to me? Unless you're a member of the church and you want to do it before the Lord's fellowship and but before your fellow Christian brothers and sisters. Now, there might be some extenuating circumstances for folks that I know very well and have counseled and so forth, and there could be. I'm not saying I would never, unless they were absolutely both members of this church. But generally, certainly not somebody call me on the phone. Most of those folks have been divorced, won't get remarried anyway, which I wouldn't do. But anyway, so that kind of limits it because I don't have any young folks that are members of the church right now that are going to run out and want to get married. I don't know how many funerals I've performed, but I've never performed a wedding. So, don't know what that means. But anyway, not that I wouldn't rejoice in doing that, but it's not that you don't need a preacher. You need a covenant between God and a man and a woman. There wasn't any preacher in the garden except God, if you want a covenant. Okay, members of the church. Certainly, they must both be Christians. I'm not saying that only two Christians can marry, but I'm not going to have part in officiating something of bringing together two people who aren't Christians. Why would I want to do that? And why would they want to come to a church to have that done? Oh, we want a good church wedding. But you don't want to go to church on Sunday? You don't want to be a member of a church, but you want a good church wedding? I never did understand that. Number three, I've talked about this. I will not sign a state license. That's not saying that I would refuse to perform a ceremony between two young folks who I knew intended to get a license for some reason and maybe to get even have it license validated before Justice of the Peace or somebody. That's up to them. But I am not an agent of the state. This church is not an agent of the state. 4, and I already mentioned this. If I did have young folks that I knew were going to seek a license in conjunction with their marriage or their wedding, I would encourage them to consummate their marriage before they go and get that license, just to get their head right. You see, that's the most important thing, is to have our head right. Is that we're married. It doesn't matter what the state says. Okay, these are kind of discombobulated points, I guess. Number 5, which is a little bit different than the others, but if I had to do all over again, I don't think I would seek a state license. But we did back in 72, before we knew any better, before we were living as we ought, before the Lord had taught us some things. I'm not going to pursue all the things that would take to overturn that thing either. I can't imagine what that would be. It doesn't matter. I know that that means nothing at all. It's kind of like Paul talking about the meat that was offered to idols. He said, go ahead and eat that stuff. Idols, we know they're not anything at all. He said, but, if somebody sees you eating that, and you're doing it in a context where they think that you're offering worship to an idol, then you best not do it. So we need to make clear some things and understand some things. So, I don't seek to judge those who seek a state license, especially if they do it for expediency, or as long as they understand the principles, that's up to them. I'm not a dictator. I'm not a priest. I'm not a pope. But I know what I'll do and what the Lord's brought me to see. And acting as the pastor of one of the Lord's churches, I will not act as an agent of the corrupt state. I will not. And by God's grace, I pray. Okay, so in the context, the state really, there's not a role for the state in marriage. God ordained that institution. And Paul, in the context there, was talking about the relationship between men and women. And we'll get back to Galatians 5, probably not next week. I think we'll look a little bit at the Lord's blessings on our church here for 35 years. But then we'll get back into Galatians 5 and pick up there where Paul talks about things that are evidences of being led by the Spirit as opposed to being led by the flesh. And that's what we ought to see, right? Okay. We'll take our hymnals this morning and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 317, this is another one I recently entered in to our repertoire. I know some of y'all really like it. 317, His Eye on the Sparrow. But we didn't have it in our regular rotation. When Heather was here, people would sometimes ask to sing it if we had specials. But number 317, if you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn together. His Eye is on the Sparrow.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eyes on the scramble. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the swell, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when storms and tempests beside me, from care He sets me free. His eye is on the scramble, and I know He cares for me. His eye is on the scramble, and I know He cares for me. I sing because
Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this privilege that You give us to meet. Lord, we thank You for each one that You brought out here today. Pray Your hand on them as they go their way this week. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for those things You've ordained. Lord, for that covenant between a man and a woman. And Lord, we thank You that it originated in the garden and with not in the mind of puny man. That it shows forth truths beyond that relationship, truths concerning even the Lord and His church. Father, I pray that You give us grace and strength, courage to stand in this day in which we live. Be witnesses and testimonies. Lord, we pray for understanding. And Lord, we are most thankful that You loved Your people with an everlasting love, that You chose them in Christ before the world began, that our Savior undertook and accomplished our salvation. The Holy Spirit gave life to we who were dead, gave us the gifts of repentance and faith, brought us to hear and to embrace that gospel of our salvation. Father, thank You for our Savior. Thank You for His completed atonement. And we pray in His precious name. Amen. Amen.